All right, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day and this time that you've seen fit to set apart for us and commanded us to gather together, Lord, and to open your word and to look into it, search through it, and worship you. If we didn't have that commanded to us, we most assuredly probably would ignore it and avoid it. And so we just thank you for that and to allow us to gather together and to worship. Lord, I pray that people might be blessed what I might have for them. Lord, if it's not from you, that it may be forgotten, but if it is, that they might remember it and it might be brought into their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, last Sunday, I had an idea of what I wanted to preach on, but then if you've ever been in school or something like that, or in morning worship, and somebody else kind of gets up and turns to a similar passage as you, or not that people turn to passages at school. I wish they did. That'd be great. But they start kind of giving a thought that's similar to yours. And so Sean got up and it was the name of God, the names of God. And I started shaking because I was thinking about doing the Lord as the shepherd, as our shepherd. So he did hit on that one, but not significantly. He did do a good job on it, but we're going to do a great job on it. Not saying he did a bad job, but we're gonna look at it a little bit more in depth. And so just, again, if anything, it'll be a little bit of rehearsal, which is never a bad thing. So thank you for the intro, Sean. I'm going to appreciate the layup. So let's turn to John 10. John 10, the Lord is our shepherd. John 10, starting at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him if they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they also hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So again, like I said, I was kind of looking at this passage beforehand, and we'll go ahead and get into it. Ultimately, the Lord here is using an analogy that they would really understand back in those times, right? Being a shepherd was pretty much one of the more common jobs that would have been available in Jewish time, right? And so they would clearly understand what a shepherd's responsibilities would be. We're going to look at them because I don't see too many shepherds in the crowd today. So maybe, I don't know, Xavier, if you're looking to go into that might be a good field. You just go to college and get your degree in shepherding. It'd be good. But that being said, the role of a shepherd was largely to, again, protect the sheep. All right, it was to guide and to lead the sheep. And the reason for this is that sheep were relatively lucrative back in those days. They were a source of clothing. They were sometimes a source of meat. They were also just sometimes used for trading And oftentimes in Jewish culture, they were used for sacrifice, right? So sheep held an inherent natural value, okay? It'd be similar to us today for like cattle or cows or something like that. They're used in multiple ways. They were used in multiple ways back in those days. And so they were often, again, something very valuable to the shepherds, and it was their livelihood. And ultimately, the three main responsibilities was, one, leading to areas of feeding. All right, they needed to be led to those spots. Sheep are dumb. They will go into areas that they're not necessarily supposed to go or that are dangerous in order to get food. Leading to areas of watering. Again, sheep are stupid. They're not going to drink from something that's moving too slow. They're not going to drink from something that's moving too fast in terms of a river. They need a nice, calm stream to drink from. If you ever try to drink from a hose that's going too fast, then you know that's not very fun. So I don't enjoy it. I don't think a sheep would either. But they would also need protection in times of difficulty or trial. A lot of the times there were areas or people with less than favorable desires for the sheep, okay, or animals that wanted to eat the sheep. So again, protection was also one of the responsibilities of a shepherd. And they completed these tasks using various tools. If you think of David, David had a sling, right? Why did David have a sling? It was to protect the sheep against animals that were going to come in and eat the sheep. And it's a lot easier to deal with a bear, a lion, a tiger, or a human from a distance with a sling and a rock rather opposed than getting in close. They also did, however, have, though, a staff. And that staff would sometimes have like a little nail in it that they could use to hit people with or hit different things, and it would cause damage. Regardless, though, those are all the kind of physical attributes that a shepherd would use, but they also had a very good understanding of the local terrain. They had good foresight and ability to know where the problem areas might be and where the ground or different terrains might be difficult for the sheep. And they knew well enough to keep the sheep out of those spots and to guide them away from those different trouble areas. So as we read this, we need to kind of keep that in mind, that they would understand those different aspects. People at this time would understand the different aspects. But the Lord also brings this up right after he kind of puts the Pharisees on blast, all right? So in the previous chapter, there was the blind man healed, and basically the Pharisees are completely unhappy about this because he did it on the Sabbath day. And the Lord basically is giving them this discourse because they have been very poor leaders or poor shepherds of their flock, their proverbial flock of the Jews. And so we're also reading this with the context of that in mind. But we're going to start with Christ as the good shepherd. And we'll be bouncing around the passage that I read. We're not going to read it in any particular order. But starting at verse 11, he states, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And basically, this is the Lord signifying that he is the only good leader of the flock. He is the shepherd. Again, there was no other person suitable to shepherd the people besides Christ Jesus. And as we see from this passage, the sheep have a comfort with him. Why do they have a comfort with him? Because he is the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he has a special privilege. And that special privilege is he is the only one that the door is going to open or close for to the sheepfold. He is the only one that has access to that. And obviously that door represents salvation, right? That door represents salvation. And so as such, there are going to be sheep that he calls that will enter through that door and will be saved. There are going to be those sheep that do not respond to that call. There are going to be those sheep that are not going to be shepherded by the good shepherd. In the same way, there are people in this world that are not going to respond to the Lord's call of salvation. And this is something that is a hard truth, but also very much we see it in the world today. There are those who do not respond to our Lord's call and to his desire to see people saved. Now, having the Good Shepherd is a great benefit to the sheep, to us, to believers, people who have passed through the door. And when you consider that sheep are wholly dependent on the shepherd, it makes sense in our life, right? Again, we're led, you can think of Psalm 23, the Lord leads us to green pastures, right? The Lord leads us to an area where we can eat and really become nourished without worry of attack, right? And that would be the point of a shepherd, to bring the sheep in to a spot to where they can eat good, wholesome food that is going to be safe from attack and those around us. And that is what we have as a benefit in Christ. Not saying that we are going to always go through a trial this life, but if we trust in the Lord and we listen to his shepherding, then oftentimes we are going to be able to have good teaching and good understanding. And what is our green pasture but the Bible, right? He's going to lead us into those areas, or a church that is sound doctrine, doctrinally, and is going to allow us to be there, and he'll guide us to that. Sorry, one sec, I lost my spot. And there's a lot of other areas that people will go to for green pastures, is there not? The amount of self-help YouTube videos out there are numerous. Sometimes they have a million views, sometimes they have less, sometimes they have more. And sometimes people go to wise, what are considered wise gurus, or people who are considered masters of their field in order to get good teaching, good, solid, wholesome teaching. And those are not often always safe areas to go to. And there's, I Googled this, sometimes there's different diseases in different fields that sheep will go to and they'll eat, and this will cause them to get sick. And this is also an example of bad teaching for us, right? If we go and we are led into areas of poor teaching, or we take bad doctrine or whatever else, we can end up getting sick, and this results in us being sick. Not good. Bad things can happen and end up getting bloated. And, bloated. That was the thing on the internet. The sheep will get bloated, and then they ended up getting sick and everything else. But for us, more functionally speaking, it can lead to bad life decisions and bad life choices. And that we can see that in today's church. We can think of different denominations or other people who claim to be Christians who are led into these bad pastures and end up with bad results and bad teachings. And so this is, again, something that is a benefit to us, is having the Lord as our shepherd. And by the Lord offering us this, we know, functionally speaking, as Christians, that he offers us good gifts. Luke 11:13 states, "If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Give of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so basically we read this and we know that the Lord has a desire to lead his sheep for good eating and good gifts. 1 Corinthians 2:9 reads, "But it is as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And so the Lord wants to give good food and good gifts to his sheep. Additionally, he leads us by still waters, right? And still waters being something that is very important to us. Still waters is something that we are then fed and watered and allowed to have that gift by him. Now, if you take the Bible at its word, you know that the Lord has something much greater for us in this life by being shepherded by him. And so this is why we need to be very careful as sheep not to wander away from him, right? We need to be very careful not to do things that pull us away from the Lord. There's a saying that every single time you pull down a fence or you hop a fence, you should ask why it's there, right? And in the same instance, as we deal with teachings and from previous generations and older teachings, we need to be careful not to walk away from those things. We need to be careful and ask ourselves why those things were put up in the first place, because oftentimes, in the pasture where the Lord brings us, he will put up fences to keep us there and keep us safe. Why? Because we're dumb. And we, Uncle Dave, I believe, was the one who said that sheep are dumb. And if you've been around people for any length of time, you know that's true. And basically, though, we need to be careful not to go over those fences. We need to be careful not to pull those fences down as thinking that we as sheep can shepherd ourselves. Those rules are in place for a reason, right? And the reason why is that sometimes we are brought through paths, the Lord will bring us through paths that are dangerous. And you can think of, again, of Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. And we can have comfort, right? Because we know we have the Lord with us. But if we wander away from him as sheep and we don't stick to that path that he's given us, then oftentimes we can go through different trials that he never intended us to have to go through. You can think of different life decisions that are quite obviously sinful, but that cause immense amount of pain, immense amount of issues and discomfort. Again, there are obvious ones that you can think of. We should not be getting slobbering drunk. Sex outside of marriage results in multitude of issues for your life and is not a good thing. Lying, having a lying spirit, somebody who is consistently lying, will cause issues for your life. But there's also other things that can result that are going to cause different problems for us when we walk through or don't necessarily listen to the shepherding. And ultimately, the Bible says your sins will find you out, right? And if you go and you have these different, you commit these different sins and you don't follow the Lord's shepherding, then it will result in those sins, again, finding you out, and you will not have the full abundance of joy, because ultimately that's what the Lord wants for us, right? If you look in verse 10, he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Ultimately, the Lord does not put up rules arbitrarily in order to make our life dull and boring and annoying. He does it so that we can have safety and an abundance of life. Something that I feel like is a lot of times is lobbied about in this generation is that we're all a bunch of, as Addie would say, fuddy-duddies who don't necessarily want to have fun or anything else like that. And Christians are boring. And ultimately, perhaps by the world standards, yes, but it is a more full and bountiful life, or as being not slaves to sin and following after what he has for us, than what the world has. And I would encourage you to look, really look, at those who do not have the Lord and look at their lives. They might look great on the outside. They might look phenomenal on the outside, but truly, they are lost. Truly, they are missing something, and truly, it is not something that you want to experience. I think we can all think of examples of those people. That being said, sometimes the Lord puts under-shepherds over us, okay? And more specifically, you can think of elders and stuff like that, but the Lord also puts those over us to shepherd us as well, all right? And it can start with an elder, but I would also argue that kids, your parents, are a form of shepherd that the Lord has put over you, all right? So as such, that is kind of a subdivision there of listen to the shepherd that the Lord has put over you. Ladies, if you're married, your husbands are a form of a shepherd that the Lord has put over you. Listen to the shepherd that the Lord has put over you. Men, the elders of your assembly are the elders that the Lord has put over you. Listen to the shepherd that the Lord has put before you. We do ourselves a disservice by not letting ourselves be easily shepherded, if that's a word. I'm going to make it a word. If we do not allow ourselves to have a humble and submissive heart, then we are not going to be able to be shepherded effectively. And that will result us straying away. All right. Enough about the Good Shepherd. No, there's never enough about the Good Shepherd. That comes out poorly. But we're going to transition to the thieves and the robbers. If there's a good shepherd, then that implies that there is a shepherd or those who do not have good intentions for the sheep. And ultimately, the Lord describes them as coming in at a through a different way, correct? And these are people who have no good intention for the sheep. They wish to cause harm. They wish to cause damage to the fold, all right? And these are false teachers who try and lure the sheep away via different methods and means, right? If you notice, the Lord says, the porter openeth to the good shepherd. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 2, sorry. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. But, in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door in the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. These are people who try to lead the sheep astray via alternative means. And this can be, again, false teachers who try to have false doctrine in order to try and lure the sheep. It sounds good. It sounds great. It sounds enticing. They're trying to lead the sheep over. Come on, Mr. Sheepy Sheep. And then the sheep end up coming sometimes if they don't know the good shepherd's voice. This is, you can think of myriad of examples. You can think of apostates, people in the church who truly do not know the good shepherd. You can think of those people who are, the paid pastors on television who have the 40,000 people church and everything else. They have this great, just theology and everything else. It sounds exciting. It gets them all revved up and ready to go. But in actuality, it preaches nothing of salvation. These people do not enter and go through the sheepfold. They enter through other ways, and they have no care for the spiritual standing of the sheep. Additionally, these people tend to want to cause harm to the sheep. They want to lead them astray. They want to be used for their own gain. In biblical times, these are sort of kind of people who would steal sheep away, kill the sheep, use them for meat. They would use them for their own gain. And at this time, it would be rather devastating to the shepherd. It would be rather obviously devastating to the sheep, but also it would hurt the shepherd and hurt them in terms of financial. In the same way, we as sheep need to be wary of these robbers and these thieves. And sometimes they don't necessarily entice, but they bludgeon. And sometimes it's more of a violent act. Sometimes they would grab the sheep and just take them away and steal them forcibly. And in the same way, we as sheep need to be wary of that as well and stay away from these people. These people who claim to know the good shepherd, who claim to have something similar to that of the good shepherd, they claim we need to stay away from them. Kind of another point that I read was oftentimes people would dress up as a shepherd. They would try to dress up as a shepherd and try to steal these sheep away in order to have their own gain and their own and use and steal the sheep. However, we see that the sheep know the good shepherd's voice, right? And as the sheep that knows the good shepherd, we need to make sure that we are listening to the good shepherd, right? Because it's hard to know somebody's voice who you don't really listen to. And how do you do that, right? You read the scripture. You read the scripture, and you consistently listen to the good shepherd. It's hard to know somebody's voice who you don't hear often. Give me one sec. And so that's key for us all in order to really truly know our Lord's voice. Finally, we get to the hireling in verse 12. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. These are people, the hireling, who perhaps are put in positions of authority or for whatever else for financial gain. They don't necessarily have anything against the sheep. They don't want to hurt the sheep in any way. But when a trial comes or when something comes about that requires them to perhaps sacrifice of something of their own, they flee the sheep. These are people in our lives who perhaps, again, for whatever reason, have been put in authority over us, yet truly are only in it for their own glory and their own gain, financial gain sometimes. You can think of, a paid pastor position properly, possibly. Somebody who is put in that position for simply financial gain, and when something comes to, where the rubber hits the road, in the flock or in the church, they might flee. And this is why it is very important to also be wary of those folks, be wary of those people who tend to not want the best for the sheep. Sorry, I'm trying to go off my phone and it keeps closing on me. Now, this is not to say that, you know, every person who has a shepherding position over you is somebody who is in it simply for financial gain. In fact, I would say here we're very lucky not to have paid positions or anything else like that. And these are truly people who have a heart for the Lord. And so that is something that we are extremely blessed at here at Springbrook, I would say, is to have shepherds over us who truly do care and truly do want the best for the sheep. So, in conclusion, as we finish up here, the most important thing, though, about our shepherd and about this entire story is the fact that our Lord gives his life for the sheep. We talked about how the hireling wants nothing to do with the danger of this job of shepherding the sheep. The Lord, in fact, took this job simply because of that danger. The Lord, in fact, is our shepherd largely because he came to lay down his life for the sheep. You can think of the stories of David as he defended his flock against lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And he did it with a care for the flock. However, the Lord truly knew that the only thing that would save the flock was his own life. The Lord did everything necessary in order to protect his flock, and that was his sacrificial death, right? His sacrificial death in order to truly protect us. And ultimately, he exemplifies the mark of a true shepherd. He exemplifies a true and the perfect shepherd. And the Lord gave him to us as the ultimate shepherd. And so in all things, we are extremely blessed to have that. And in all things, we should allow ourselves to be shepherded by the Lord. Oftentimes, I know it is very difficult to let oneself be shepherded or be led. Led is a better term, probably. That's actually a word. But it is very difficult to let yourself be led, especially here in America, right? Freedom, choice, everything else, you know, hoorah. But that's not what the Bible teaches. I mean, there are the leaders over us, but in fact, we are all supposed to be led by the Lord. And we live in a culture where you tell somebody that, yeah, no, I'm going to tell you what to do because that's my job and that's what I want to that's what I'm supposed to do, they're going to laugh at you in your face. Go to a workplace and find the manager and ask him how easy it is to lead people who don't want to be led. Not easy. Not easy. So in the same sense, I would give kind of an exhortation to us as sheep, because we're all sheep. Some of us are old goats, other us are baby sheep, you know, whatever you want to go with. But let yourself be led. Let yourself be led in a right way. I'm not saying to blindly follow everything, but in a sense, there needs to be a willingness to submit to who the Lord has put over us, a willingness to follow after him and a trust in the Lord. Now, again, search everything out. Be the Bereans. Look at those things. But there needs to be a willingness to be led in every station of our life. Again, as I said, kids, let yourself be led by your parents. Again, search out the scripture. Go ahead. I think they'd love it if you searched out the scripture. I think I know most of the parents here would love it if you were reading your Bible. But the Lord puts them in your life in order to keep you safe, to keep you in a pasture that's green. The Lord's kind of has them as your under-shepherd. Ladies, not easy, especially in the culture that we're in today. Let yourself be led by your husbands. They're put over you. The Lord has put you there because he feels that they're meant to guide you. And if you don't have a husband, the elders. The elders are there to shepherd us and to guide us. The Lord's put them there for a reason. Let yourself be led by the shepherd. And ultimately, personally, all of us need to be led by the great shepherd, right? The Lord, our Father. And if you're a Christian here today, let yourself be led by him. It's the best choice you can make. He wants a life abundant for you. But again, let yourself be led. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. And I thank you that you are a good shepherd and you want good things for us. And you want us to be brought into clear pastures, Lord, and by running water. And you want to give us good things. And you're there, and your rod and staff are there to protect us from the dangers of this world. And I pray that we might rely upon you through that, and that you might be the shepherd, and we let you be our shepherd of our lives. And that you know, we have salvation through you and we've passed through that fold, but as we pass through that fold and you guide us along in our journey through life, that we might be able to have that faith and that love and that security through you. In Jesus' name, amen.